All right, well, good evening. We're going to go ahead and get started. If you want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 47, Ezekiel 47, we'll begin in verse 13. So it's good to be back with you. I thought I would update you on a little bit of what happened on Thursday. I went to Florida to surprise my mom, and that was her expression when she sees me, which is kind of a natural expression when someone sees me. So we surprised her, if you couldn't tell. And then this is her expression when she saw Matt. And you can see all the sympathy that we're giving Mom in that picture. So not a clue. So anyways, we had a good time with Mom, and so we got her pretty good. All right, so Ezekiel 40 through 48, this is kind of a large section here at the end of Ezekiel, describing the temple, the building of it, and the regulations of the temple. You see that God's presence returning at kind of the beginning there of chapter 43, kind of a climax of that moment. Now, if God is going to be here, this is how you need to react. This is how you need to behave. If you behave this way, God will be with you. So there's conditions on God's presence. And then last week, we looked at that river flowing from the throne, just getting bigger and bigger and blessing everything it touches, the trees all around it. Good for food, good for healing. So there's one of my favorite pictures in this whole section. And we see kind of the prophecies or what Jesus says in John 7 and other places, kind of the fulfillment of that tree, the river. So then now we have the division of the land. So as we get started here, we're going to kind of go at it, now just give you little bits and pieces of the outline as we go along, and we will try to picture this as best we can. So beginning, kind of the rest of chapter 47, beginning in verse 13, is kind of the general territory. So we saw kind of the beginning of this, chapter 47, really started moving towards the description of the land, you know, with the river flowing from the throne. And the rest of this is basically a description of the territories of the land, the different tribes, where they would be in relation to the holy land, the holy place where the sanctuary of God is. So in verse 13 and 14, you see the land is for the 12 tribes of Israel. And who gets a double portion that you see there in 13 and 14? So kind of at the end there, verse 13, Joseph, as we would expect, right, gets the double portion. And why Joseph? Why did he get the double portion with Ephraim and Manasseh being his two sons? What was so special about him? Yes, so he got the birthright, which should have gone to who? Reuben. A good passage, just kind of right in the middle of our favorite text, First Chronicles, the first few chapters there, just this guy begot this guy who begot this guy. Well, kind of right in the middle of that, in First Chronicles 5, 1 and 2 just kind of explains everything for us, very... very nicely. So it says, now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but because he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, so that he is not enrolled in the genealogy according to the birthright. Though Judah prevailed over his brothers, and from him came the leader, yet the birthright belong to Joseph. So Joseph gets that double portion, right, that the birthright would be given to. And what about these division of the land that you see in verse 14? That kind of significant and a little bit different than maybe what we see in Joshua. Yes. Yes. Great. So, yeah, at the end of there, verse 14, each division is going to be equal. Now, I'm going to show you a map, and you'll say, well, it's not very equal. But kind of the idea is each territory gets the same amount of land. So take that picture that I'm about to show you with a grain of salt, or a couple. So verses 15 to 20, you see the boundaries for the land. So you get the, just kind of going around the clock, you get the north boundary, and then the eastern boundary, and then the southern boundary going down into Egypt, and then the west boundary would be the Mediterranean Sea. So, and then, significant, I think, in this, is verses 21 through 23. And what do you see that's maybe interesting in those verses that we've seen several times in the Old Law? Well, I'm going off as well. All iPhones are going off. Amber alert. But I think we're okay. Stay seated. All right. Okay, 21 through 23, trying to get back on track. You see laws concerning the foreigners, right? Looking at that, what is maybe interesting to you about some of those laws in verse 21 through 23? Okay, yeah, so you see a shadowing of any foreigners. Yes, sir, go ahead. Yes, good. So you have, if an alien decides to live with you, does he get land? Yeah, he gets land in this section. He was to get land. And there are several laws in the Old Testament that speak to this. I'll just give you two. Leviticus 19, in verse 34, it says, "You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So that's Leviticus 19:34, and then Numbers chapter 9, verse 14 says, "And if a stranger sojourns among you and would keep the Passover to the Lord according to the statute of the Passover and according to its rule, so shall he do. You shall have one statute both for the sojourner and for the native." So again, you just see God kind of bringing favor or giving favor to the sojourner, to the foreigner who is among them. And especially looking at Leviticus 19, you remember what reason did he give? Why should you treat the sojourner so well? Yes. Sure. So the first one was Leviticus 19 in verse 34. And the second was Numbers 9 verse 14. So those two of many that kind of show God's concern for the sojourner, and it's because you were a sojourner before. So you should have, of anyone, you should have compassion on someone who's a sojourner. So God wants his people to be kind to those who struggled in the same way they had in the past. Would you say that it's typical for someone to be treated badly and that, say, that someone like gets past that, and then, like, say they're a kind of low man on the totem pole, and he just kind of gets run over, and then he finally moves his way up. How would that person typically deal with people beneath him or below him? What would you say would be typical of that situation? We may have different answers on this. I don't know. And I think that would be more typical than anything. We might not think that. You'd think if anyone needs to have compassion, it would be this guy who would in that same situation. But I would say typically that's just not not how we see it. You could see it as in like siblings. The older sibling may just kind of rule the younger, and then once that younger moves up, he can rule the those beneath him. But God says, I don't want you to be that way. What needs to happen is remember where you were. Remember how you were treated, and then treat others with compassion. And so that's the idea that we see. So we certainly need to remember how we are treated and then have compassion on others. We were in sin, and then God was compassionate to us, show that same compassion to others as well. And anything else that you'd like to say through chapter 47? Good. Yes. Good. Yes, sir. Good. Thank you. That's right. So that was never considered the promised land on the east side of the Jordan. And so then you see that certainly here, that all tribes are on the, I guess, left of the Jordan. Good. Any other thoughts or comments through 47? All right, so getting into chapter 48, what we're going to do is look at the territory of the 12 tribes. And this breaks into three different sections. We're going to hit the northern section, then the central section, and then the southern. So that's kind of the outline that we're going to be using. So each territory is from east to west, and we're just starting in the north and going south. So that's kind of what we're looking at in the first seven verses of this section. And this is obviously, we've said it before, this is different allotment than what you would see in the book of Joshua, where they were dividing out the land. So you basically just kind of visualize strips of land going from east to west, and however north to south these strips are. But that's the picture here. So who do you see far north? What tribe is far north? So we see Dan, and then keep going south, you have Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Ephraim, Reuben, and then Judah. So I'm just going to show you someone's picture of that. So why are Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, and Ephraim going? Well, because looking at chapter 47, you see the boundaries are further east than the Jordan River. So once it hits the Jordan River, that's the differentiation. That's why some are maybe a little bit longer east-west than others. But then notice this central section, and we're going to look at maybe the significance of this order. Why Dan on top and why Judah near the bottom? We'll look at that here in a little bit. And then looking at this central territory starting in verse 8. So we'll just kind of move quickly here. Verse 8 and 9, kind of the summary of this territory. And this is a very significant territory. Notice 8 through 22 is describing this central territory. And then 23 to 29, 1 to 7 is describing everything else. So this is lot of focus is being given given to this territory. So you see, the territory is 25,000 cubits square, which would kind of make you think of the Holy of Holies or the holy place, right? Being square. This is where God is. And notice the sanctuary will be in the middle of it. Remember to keep that in mind. It says middle later on. So verse 8, it says the sanctuary where God is will be in the midst of this land. And verse 11, verse 9, the allotment to the Lord shall be 25,000 in length and the width 10,000. So we're going to notice that. It'll be 10,000, 10,000, 5,000, if that makes sense. Okay? So it's kind of three different levels. Two of them are equal with 10,000, and the bottom is 5,000. So then looking at the central. So we start with the central, even though 10 through 12 is going to come first. And then we'll move to the northern, and I'll tell you why or how I came to that conclusion here in a little bit. But looking at verses 10 through 12, it shall be 25,000 cubits long and north to south 10,000. And so here we have the sanctuary of the Lord will be in its midst. And who gets to serve in this sanctuary? Verse 11. Good. And why? Why do they get to serve here? Good. So because they serve the Lord and they did not stray away from the Lord, God blesses them due to that. And this is the part of the land where you want to be, right? This is where the sanctuary is. And so this is a very special privilege, kind of a special blessing that these guys get to serve in this territory. And it's because they stayed true to the Lord. So you see that blessing that God rewards them with. And then verse 12, you see it's the most holy place. So the idea of the sanctuary, and I'm just going to go ahead and jump to, I think it's verse 21. Look at the very end of verse 21. It shall belong to the prince, the holy portion with the sanctuary of the temple shall be in its midst. Now, I think some have there in the middle. So the sanctuary, if you were to picture this land, I'm going to show you here in a little bit. The sanctuary is in the very center of the land going north to south. So even though 10 to 12 comes first, we didn't hit northern first, we hit the central part first. And now going into verse 13 and 14, this territory belongs to the Levites. So remember the three strips, if you can kind of try to visualize it, that may help you. So we got the northern part, and that's where the Levites are serving. The central part of that is where the priests of Zadok, those are the sanctuary, those who get to serve the Lord. So that's where we are, 13 to 14, the northern part. And this territory, again, 25,000 cubits this way, 10,000 cubits this way. So you get that strip of land. And they said they are not to sell or exchange their land, for it is holy to the Lord. So you can't be doing business, try to get more land. No, this is yours. No trading, no business. And then looking at the southern part of this territory in verses 15 to 19, notice it's also 25,000 cubits this way, but only 5 cubits width, height. So then you have the common ground. We'll have an area of 4,500, and it shall be square. And then the city. The city is significant. Verse 17, it shall be 250 by 250 cubits. Maybe I should let Derek get up here and describe all that for you. Have any questions? I refer you to Mr. Beard. So the land to the east and west of the city shall be 10,000. And then you have the workers of the city are from where? Where are the workers? Where do you get the workers from? Yeah, so all the tribes, a selection, right? A few of the tribes get to be in this city, and the land outside of the city is just kind of working land where they would work to support. And then verse 20, you just have kind of a summary of this division. 21 through 22 is the land of the priest. Okay, so you have this perfect square, right? 25,000 square. And then you have strips of land to the east and the west. And we saw this before, I believe it's chapter 45, is where you kind of see a snippet of this, a little bit more detail here. But you have the prince's land on the east and west of that perfect square. And so the northern boundary of this special territory, this holy land, is Judah, and the southern boundary is Benjamin. I'm going to show you a picture, and hopefully we can kind of try to figure this out together. So hopefully you pictured that already as we were going through it. I don't know if I can use this thing or not. Well, no, I can't. No, I won't even try this time. But you see the prince's land on the east and west, and the Levites, those who did not stay true to the Lord, are in the northern part. And the sanctuary you see in the dead center. That's where the Lord is. That's where, and then you see the bottom section, the food there, just kind of the land that they are to work on. And then that arrow to the white thing is the city. And that's the 25 or 250 cubits. Is that helpful? Did everyone kind of at least see that picture that we're given? All right. Any comments or thoughts on that central section? Okay. So now we're gonna go south, and let's see. Here we are, southern territories, and you can just kind of look at those. So we're just continuing that list. I don't know if I counted them for you. How many tribes are in the north, the northern part of the land? Seven. Okay, so then how many are left to make 12? Five. So you get these the five tribes here, starting with Benjamin. Keep going south: Simeon, Issachar, Zebulun, and Gad. Verse 28, just basically describing that southern boundary where Gad, the section of Gad, ends. So now we've got all 12 tribes. In the summary, verse 29, this is the land in which you are to divide the land. These are their several portions. So let's look at this as a whole. Hopefully you can see that. So you have just kind of those tribes, and then notice the holy district. Your holy land, whatever. That's where God is. That's the significant part of this section, right? 8 through 22, was it? So that's kind of the where we're looking at. Let's notice, I'm going to ask you, see if what you think. What are some observations that you notice of the land distribution? Anything kind of pop out at you of maybe why they're located where? Anything stand out? Okay, sure. Yeah, so they're all connected to the Mediterranean Sea, going south and north, I guess, except for Issachar, Zebulun, Gad. Three of them. Correct, right. Southern three or not. Which tribes do you want to be looking at that picture? Where do you want to be? Yeah, you want to be Judah or Benjamin, right? Those are the two that are the closest to where God is. That's right, location, location, location. That's it. That's where you want to be. We probably could guess why Judah. Judah is the tribe, the Davidic tribe, and the tribe where Jesus would come through. Any thoughts on Benjamin? Why Benjamin? And I don't have a great answer, but maybe y'all do. Yes. Sure. Yes. Yes. So he was one of the favorite sons of Jacob. And I maybe a clue to give you, think about the wives of Joseph and their children looking at this list. So we'll just run through them real quick, okay? Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, all sons of Leah. I have to go through the song in my head. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali would be related to who? Who's their mother? Remember? Bilhah was Rachel's, why don't you have children? Hey, poor Jacob and all this. All right, so then you have Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher would be whose? Zilpah. And then you got back to Leah. So you got four Leah, two Bilhah, two Zilpah, back to Leah two, and then Rachel with Joseph and Benjamin. Now looking at that, maybe that can help you. My only thought of Benjamin, where was Jerusalem located? Originally in the land of Benjamin. That's all I got. Maybe your answer will probably far succeed that. But Jerusalem was actually in the land of Benjamin. So maybe Benjamin gets, well, since you had Jerusalem, you can be close. Yes, sir. That's right. Good. So going far south, you would hit Simeon, but it was kind of engulfed in Judah. All right, so let's look at look at that holy district. That's where you want to be. Okay, so you have five to the south and seven to the north. Notice which territories, which four territories are the furthest from the Holy Land? Yes, and two more. Which other two would be far away from the furthest away? Okay, good. No, you got one right. Sorry, I was quick to praise you. Yeah, sorry. So you have Dan, Asher, Naphtali, and then you would have four plots of land and then the holy, right? Going south, since it's seven and five, you have just one on the south. So those other four would be equal to the Holy Land. Does that make sense at all? So the four, Dan, Asher, Naphtali, and Gad, they are sons of the maidservants. Yeah, and so you have the children of the maidservants being the furthest away from the holy place. And then next, there you are, concubines, children. And then the next order of birth with Leah. So Reuben and Simeon would be birth order, and they would be the next closest. And then, of course, Levi is in the holy district and has cities throughout. Then you have Manasseh, Ephraim, representing Joseph, and then Simeon. So What to do with that, that's up to you. I'm just giving you observations on what maybe some of the organization of that. Questions or comments that I can't answer? Need to figure out how to turn Siri off. All right. Okay, looking at the latter part here. We have kind of the access to the city in verses 30 through 35. So a normal city would have how many gates, you would say? Four, yeah, maybe one on each side. Maybe you would say one big gate. Everyone go in and out the same, maybe two, north, south. This has how many? 12. Yeah, this is some city, right? So it has 12 gates representing each tribe. What is interesting about this list that's different than what we just saw? Maybe at least a couple of things I think should stand out on this list. Yeah, Levi, who is not given allotted land, he actually gets a gate. And who else gets a gate? Who's we're not used to? Joseph. So Joseph is not split in two, right? Manasseh, Ephraim, or Ephraim, Manasseh. So we have Levi and Joseph actually given by name a gate. And so we have, again, kind of northeast, southwest, clockwise rotation. And I don't have any pictures for you on this one, so you have to visualize. So on the north, you have Reuben, Judah, Levi. And then on the east, you have Joseph, Benjamin, and Dan. Going south, you have Simeon, Issachar, Zebulun. And then on the west is the leftovers, Gad, Asher, and Naphtali. I should have had a pic. I don't think I have a picture. I don't think I do. It would have been really helpful for you if I did. So, sorry. I'll give you pictures of my mom instead, crying. Okay, so think of, again, thinking of Jacob's wives and his children. Who is in the north and south? Who owns the north and south gates? So those are all Leah's children. If you look at the north, three, and the south, three. Reuben, then Simeon, excuse me, is that right? That's not right, is it? Reuben, Judah, Levi, Simeon is south. Good, so I am right. Good, that's good. Then Issachar, Zebulun are kind of the later two children of Leah. So you have Leah's children on the top and bottom, and then Rachel's children are together on the east side, and then you have, let's see, which one is split? I'd have to run through them again. Okay, so Gad, Asher, and I guess who belonged to Dan? That'd be Bilhah. So Bilhah's children are split east-west, and Zilpah's are all in the west. Again, I'm just giving you observations, and you do with that, figure out what all that means, because I'm not exactly sure. So, and kind of the climax of this book, ending the book, verse 35, very significant. The circumference of the city shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that time on shall be The Lord is There. The first part of Ezekiel is basically what? How would you describe the first, is it 24? 24 chapters? I'm trying to remember my outline. 1 through 24, how would you describe that section of Ezekiel? God has left because, what is the key word that Ezekiel keeps using, or God keeps using, remember, to describe sin? Abominations, right? These are all the abominations of the people, and therefore, what did God have no choice in doing? He had to leave, right? Then continuing, right, to go over, these are all the sins. This is why God has left. And if you revisit those first 24 chapters, you will see God had every right to leave, and he was so patient with these people. And then 25, I believe, to 32, y'all can check me on my chapters, is basically describing God is over not only Israel, but over all the nations. So judgment on all the nations, 25 to 32. And then 33, remember that key event. What was the key event in Ezekiel in between that period where we got all the judgments on the nations? What was Ezekiel basically waiting on? Remember? Yes, the destruction of Jerusalem. Remember, God just kept telling the people, Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. He actually given, this is the date where the Babylonians besieged the city, and news came back. When did that happen? Oh, exactly when Ezekiel said it did. So that is kind of the culmination. You have the destruction of Jerusalem, and what were all the people hoping back in Babylon? One day, we'll get to go back, right? God is, his temple is there. There's no way that we're going to lose to the Babylonians. Jerusalem's never been captured before. The Assyrians, they came close, but then God wiped out a whole army. So therefore, we're fine. We're going to go back. Jerusalem's destroyed. So you have that call of Ezekiel again, right? In 33, you're the watchman. There's still work for you to do. Another key chapter, as we're just kind of reviewing, overviewing the book real fast, is chapter 37. Anyone can recall what chapter 37 is about? That famous vision of Ezekiel. Valley of Dry Bones, yeah. And remember, what was the point of that? What was the picture of the dry bones? Why did God make that vision? You remember? Good. Yeah, exactly right. So the people were saying, we are dead. And we're not dead. We're dead. We're really dead. There's no hope. And so God said, okay, you say you are as dead as a bunch of dry bones. I'll tell you what I can do with that. Right? And he gives this great picture of the valley and then reviving this army for the Lord. And so God is able to give hope. But if you look at through 39, why didn't it end in 39? Well, God hasn't returned yet. So that is chapter 40 through 48 is this temple vision. And remember, who's seeing this? Ezekiel the priest. And he's going to be super excited. Wow, I get to, he gets to see the outer court. He's taken into the inner court. He just kind of watches the guide go in and describe the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies. And then he sees the God entering in through the east gate. And then he's given all these regulations. So he's kind of the new Moses, right? Giving the law. And then you have this river coming from the throne of God, blessing everything it touches. Here's the division of the land. And what's the culmination? Verse 35. The Lord is here. So, perfect way to end the book is this city, and the Lord is back. And that's what they've been waiting on. Any thoughts, comments through Ezekiel? I have, I think, one more thing to show you, I hope. Well, maybe I don't. I was going to give you a... I'm going to check. All right, this is what we are... Well, maybe my clicker broke. This is what we're going to be doing the next, class periods here. I remind the ladies that they have a wonderful opportunity to be in the back room starting next Wednesday, that Allison will be doing a class on how to teach. And I encourage any lady to attend that. I think that'll be extremely helpful. And if you decide to stay here, your opportunity in here is saying you men really need to work on these things. So you can just amen all these things that we're trying to work on. But certainly if you look at the covenant with my eyes, is that just for men? No, everyone needs all of these things, being generous, treating others. Beneath you, how you need to treat, loving your enemies, trusting in God. So we do have one class there, being generous to the needy. And what we're doing is we're looking at that passage in the first part of this book. I sought for a man to fill in the gap. Remember that passage? And so that's what we're going to be looking at. I sought for a man to fill in the gap. And then we're going to jump to Job 31. Proverbs 31 is kind of the key chapter, right, that we use for this is the worthy woman. Job 31 would have to be the worthy man chapter. And that's the chapter where Job says, I'm innocent. You three knuckleheads that say you're my friends keep saying how bad I am. I'm going to prove to you, just going through my history, this is the type of man I am. This is how I've been. And so he just kind of goes through that chapter and professes his innocence, his godliness, which God proclaimed at the beginning of the book. You are a righteous man. You're a godly man. And he kind of proves that in that chapter. So that's what we're going to do. I divided the Job. And if you are teaching, don't feel like you just have to stay in Job. You can go elsewhere to teach that class. Okay. In any thoughts on Ezekiel, anything else before we wrap up? If anyone does desire to teach that class, please come to me and I will put you right in. Did I end early? Amazing. You get 30 seconds to do whatever you want. Thank you.